Hey, my friend, welcome to the show and thanks for listening. Today is going to be fun. Are you ready to access universal wisdom in making all your decisions? Like, what if you went through life getting little signs like, go talk to that person, or don't eat that, or take a different way home from work today? What if you always knew what choice was like the right choice, and the cumulative effect of that was a life that was easier and guided you to your full potential? I'm like, yes, please. I'll sign up for that any day. My guest today calls that living by intuition. Now, Oprah has said that all her business skills have come from being guided by her intuitive self. That might not surprise you, but maybe you might be surprised to hear that Jeff Bezos also said, all of my best decisions in business and in life have been made with heart, intuition, and guts. Steve Jobs has said that intuition was more powerful than intellect, and Einstein himself said the only real valuable thing is intuition. So do you see why I was so excited to talk to my guest today? She is the intuition expert, Lisa Kay. Lisa has a revolutionary step-by-step intuitive technique that people can use to become aware of their intuition and use it to instantly know the best decision to make. Lisa holds degrees in electrical engineering from Columbia University, psychobiology from the State University of New York, and a PhD from the University of Metaphysical Sciences. She is considered an expert on intuition and makes regular guest appearances on TV, radio, and online media, as well as holding live events and courses. So today, she is here to tell you what exactly intuition is, and there is a science behind this. She's also going to tell you whether you have to believe in God or spirits or the great beyond to use your intuition. Also, she's going to tell you why intuition is not just having a feeling about something. And she's going to tell you how to get started with tuning into your intuition with simple practices today. Here's Lisa.
Breaking news. Your dream life isn't going to happen because you made a vision board. You're going to need goals, grit, and some woo-woo shit. This podcast is about getting clarity on what you want, having the grit to do the actual work, and most importantly, constantly training your brain to be your bitch. Ready to be inspired? Here is your host, best-selling author, Una Duncan.
Hey, hey, Lisa Kay, I am so happy to have you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
So I have been spending a lot of time on your site because I'm absolutely fascinated by what you do. So your main promise on your site says that you want to help people make decisions that they can trust. Yes. And I love that. It's so simple and clear. And I would love for you to just talk right off the bat. Why is that so important that we can make decisions that we can trust?
One of the things we don't realize, we make thousands of decisions a day. And from the food we eat to even which way we're going to go to work to sometimes very large, big decisions. And so we always often think about the big life decisions and how those are so important, but the little ones are important too because they accumulate. And every little step that you take is going to take you in a particular direction. And that direction can lead you to a better life, or it could lead you to either maybe stagnating or worse. And we don't want to go in a place where we don't want to end up. And one of the things that you or I have probably seen, and those of your listeners as well, is people who have made maybe not such good choices and where their lives have ended up. And we always have that person's like, oh man, he had so much potential, she had so much potential, and they decided to do blah, blah, blah. And then they ended up doing something that it doesn't make them happy. So our decisions are tremendously important. And the more good decisions we make, the better our life is going to be.
Totally. And sometimes that blah, blah, blah that you decided, it's not, oh, they made the wrong choice of a spouse. Sometimes it's just that person decided to have one too many drinks every night after night. You're right. It can be a cumulative, constant decisions versus the one biggie. And so you say that making good decisions is a combination of analysis and intuition. Can you tell us how we find that balance?
Intuition is a real thing. And that's one of the things I discovered. And intuition has always been fascinating to me because it seems to be that magic that people have that gets them to where they want to be. It gets them, they decide which way to go or and it leads into success. And they'll say, I relied on my intuition. So what is that? And I studied intuition I have a background in science, psychobiology, and I also have a background in engineering, as well as metaphysical sciences, which I think fits right into your world. And I love to put those things together because I wanted to know what this was. And listening to people like Jeff Bezos and Oprah and Einstein, who say they rely on their intuition to make big decisions and life decisions, and that's how they became successful. And any time that they didn't listen was when it led them to mistakes. So it's, what is that? And I decided I wanted to go and really see, is this thing real? Can you really develop it? And if you can, what is it about? So I started from scratch. I didn't think I was intuitive at all. And I decided I'm going to open up everything. I'm going to look at science, which there is some, not a whole lot. And then the intuition side, as well as even if you want to call it the psychic side, because to me, it's a spectrum. And I discovered that what people were talking about as far as intuition, intuitive abilities, and then strong intuitive abilities, which I consider psychic abilities, is the way the right side of the brain thinks. And I started to put the pieces together and I realized, oh, so what people are doing is they're accessing the information that's in the right side of their brain. They are listening to the way it speaks and they're understanding what it's saying to them. And this is what helps them get the big aha. And I started to see how we could use this and worked out a methodology and a process to access my intuition on demand and actually get useful, detailed information out of it that I can act on and make decisions with. And that helped me save my life. And when I realized, oh my gosh, what a great, great gift. I don't want to keep it to myself. I think everybody can do this. Everybody should do this.
Oh my gosh, I have so many questions for you, and I definitely want to ask you how this saved your life. But first of all, can I just back you up and really try and nail down the definition of intuition? Would you say that intuition is information from the right side of our brain? Is that what intuition is?
Actually, the definition of intuition is knowing without knowing how you know it.
You did a PhD dissertation on intuition. I'm wondering, how did you nail that down, knowing without knowing how you know it? And you said there is some science around it. Can you tell us a little bit about something tangible I can grasp onto here?
Yeah, so let's talk about it. So we have inside of us two sides of our brain. Everybody knows that. You get the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere, and they actually think very differently. And when you understand that and how they think, you start to see how your thinking differs from your intuition. And I call one side the thinking mind and the other side the intuitive mind. And the thinking mind, the left side of the brain, thinks this way. It thinks linearly, sequentially. It's where your logic is, your judgment, your criticism, your doubts, and just seeing the trees in the forest. It just wants to put one step in front of the other. It's very good at following recipes. It does math. Now, the right side of the brain, on the other hand, is really good at understanding the big picture. So what is that? That's like the aha. Or I have that, all of a sudden I know what to do. That's one of the things that the right side of the brain is really good at and helps us understand. So it'll see that it's like being at the top of the mountain. So the right side of the brain is seeing the big picture. It's gestalt. It's holistic. Goes, okay, I'm at the top. I see where we need to go. This is the goal is over here. And I know how to get there because I have that big picture view. The left side of the brain is down. It's almost like it's down in the forest at the bottom of the mountain. It's looking at the trees. It's looking at the path. It says, I'm not really quite sure where to go, but I know maybe I can go in this direction. It doesn't see the big picture. So that's one of the powers of the right side of the brain, but that's also why we get the ahas, why we get the understandings all of a sudden. Another thing that we experience as intuition is we might hear something in our head that's just a few words. See, the left side of the brain has language and the right side of the brain doesn't. So that's why people who have a stroke in the left side of the brain have trouble speaking oftentimes. And that's one of the ways you can distinguish between thinking and your intuition, is that if you hear a lot of words going on in your head, that's you, that's your thinking mind. But if you hear something like, go talk to that person, or say hello to her, just like that, it can be your intuition, because it doesn't have that many words. It speaks very briefly, very in short little things. And I can give you an example. So yeah. I was driving down the parkway once. And so I looked up and I saw in my rearview mirror, there was this big black SUV. It was barreling down on me. And I knew that they probably wanted to get by. So I thought, okay, I'll just pull over to the right lane. And in the right lane, just a little bit ahead of me was a green car. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going pretty fast. I just all I have to do is slip in front of them, right? And then I heard in my head, get behind the green car. I was like, huh, really? But I could just, all I have to do is just speed up a little, get in front of it. And I heard again, get behind the green car. I knew that, that was that voice. I was like, okay, there's my intuition talking to me. So I said, all right, I'll just get behind the green car. So I slowed down, got between behind the green car, and that big black SUV zoomed past me. And 2 seconds later, we went under an overpass, and my husband, who was in the passenger side, goes, he points up and he goes, look. I said, what? He said, it was a policeman with a radar gun. So it was a speed trap. So we come out the other side, and of course, what happened is the police pulled him over, the big black SUV, gave them the ticket, and I was okay. Now, if I had gotten in front of the green car, who would have gotten the ticket?
Would have.
That's how it comes to you. It comes to you. And the reason why I was able to hear my intuition and recognize it is because I learned what it sounds like. I learned what it feels like. Another thing, way it comes is pictures, right? Sometimes people, I saw a face, I saw the face of my friend, and all of a sudden they rounded the corner and they were there. So the right side of the brain talks in pictures. And it also talks in symbols, and it doesn't have very many words. And so these are the what I call the characteristics of intuition. And I started to realize, oh, when people talk about it, it's like, I felt that. The right side of your brain is more connected to your feelings than the left side.
But it isn't exactly feelings, right? I have friends who are just generally anxious. So they would always be like, oh, I got a bad feeling about getting on this plane. But I'm like, you always have a bad feeling. They're just generally live in that sort of emotional state because they practiced it so much. How do you know if it is just an emotional habit that you've practiced versus true intuition?
That's a great question. So this is a skill you have to work on, because we haven't worked on our intuition. We don't know what it is. It's strange to us because we ignore it all the time. We don't even know that it's there, but it is there. We just don't know the difference between it and our thinking mind. And so what we have to do is working with it. We practice good intuition exercises, which will allow you to experience what intuition is like, and so that you can recognize it versus your thinking mind. That's number one. Number two is intuition is never going to scare you. It's not, and it's not overwhelming feelings. It's subtle. People always say, oh, it's subtle. Or I thought I heard something, and then they realized, oh, it was their intuition was talking to them. It's a very subtle experience. So how do we know that it is intuition? It's just like getting to know somebody. I'll say, for example, how do I know it's talking to me? If you were at a party, let's say, and there are a lot of people there, and you went with your best friend, and a lot of people are talking, and maybe you got a drink in your hand, and you're talking to some new people, and your best friend walks up, and there's a lot of sound in there, and they walk up to you. You can't see them, but they call your name. All of a sudden, you'll turn. Why? Because you recognize their voice, and you recognize your name. Because we're so used to it, and we know it well.
Yeah.
And that's what we're learning. We're learning, oh, I heard that voice. And that's why I recognized that voice, because I know what it sounds like, because I've practice that I can hear it in any situation. I know what it sounds like. I know what it feels like. I know the feeling of intuition. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm getting a pop of an image or an overall understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's how we do it. It's just like any skill. Did that help?
It does. You know what? You're reminding me. I have a friend who is a priest, and he would call his intuition, he would use the words, getting downloads from God. language around this. And so he says that he believes that if he doesn't listen to those downloads, then they will start to get quieter. He practices listening to them, even if he doesn't want to, because he says sometimes he'll be out for brunch and he'll get a hit to say, leave a $15 tip or something. And he's like, oh, I don't want to. I'm feeling broke right now. And he's like, yes, but if I don't, then those messages are going to get quieter. And he,
and I think, yes.
Yeah.
I think what happens is it's all conditioning. What we do over and over again, it's like a habit, right? So if you make a habit of ignoring it, of not listening, we do that with people. There's some people we don't want to listen to. So we make a habit of not listening to them. Then they talk and then we just don't hear them anymore because we trained ourselves not to listen to them. So you could train yourself not to listen to your intuition. And I think a lot of us do because maybe when we were young, we heard it and we acted on it and we told our family or our parents and they're like, what are you talking about? Or they get freaked out about it and they tell you, don't do that anymore. And then you squash it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to back up and I want to hear your story and how this saved your life. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I wasn't feeling very well. And I thought, maybe I've got a cold or a flu. And one night I woke up and I was shaking uncontrollably. I had a low grade fever. I usually don't shake when I have a fever, but I had a low grade fever and I was shaking. I couldn't even hold a glass of water and I got scared. And so I told my husband, I said, call 911. There's something wrong. And so he called 911 and the ambulance came and brought me to the hospital. And by the time I got there, I wasn't shaking anymore. But they did some tests and they found out that I had some bacteria in my blood, but it was stable. So they sent you home. And they said, go see your doctor in the morning. So I did. I went and saw my doctor. And he did what most doctors do, what they give you pills. So they gave me antibiotics. And I was taking those. And one of the things I noticed was that every now and then, my heart would start to pound in my chest and I'd be short of breath lying down in bed because I was still in bed. And I thought, that's weird. And these bouts would come and go and they seemed random. And one time it happened a day or two later and my heart was starting to race and I was short of breath and I looked down at my hands and they had turned white. And I was like, oh, whoa, this is not right. So I called 911 and then they took me back to the hospital. So I go in, they do tests again, and I still have bacteria in my blood, but I wasn't short of breath anymore. And I, wait a minute, what are these bouts where my heart's racing and I'm short of breath and I'm not doing anything? And the doctor goes, oh, that was fear. You were hyperventilating. And I looked at him and said, no, I don't think so. I've been in situations where I was way, way more afraid and that didn't happen to me. I don't think that's right. No. You were afraid. You're okay. Just go home. Keep taking your pills. So I had to go home. At this point, I'm getting concerned because we know, our bodies tell us there's something not right, that this was not a normal flu or cold or something. And so I was getting concerned and the bouts were coming closer and closer together now. It got to the point where I couldn't stand up for longer than 3 minutes without feeling like I was going to pass out. So I turned to my intuition and I said, what should I do? Is this serious? And I got, it was serious, but if I found an infectious disease specialist, a specialist, I'll be okay. Friday afternoon. Now, Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock and you try to find a new doctor, I'm sure anywhere in the world, it's the same thing. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Oh, they're all gone home.
For sure. Yeah.
And nobody's returning my calls. Saturday, the same thing. And I'm getting very concerned. Sunday, I'm thinking, what should I do? And I turned to my intuition and I was guided to read a book that was been on my shelf for years. It was How to Find the Best Pediatrician. Now, I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I really need to read this book, but I don't know why. It seems a little, I'm not a, anyway. So I start reading the book. And of course, the word pediatrician keeps popping up over and over again. And then I realized, you know what? Our pediatrician is a friend of mine and he lives down the street. Maybe he knows somebody who could help me. Or so I pick up the phone to call him. In my head pops, he's away on vacation, leave a detailed message.
Okay.
So I dial, ring, he doesn't pick up. I leave a detailed message. Later that afternoon, about 6 o'clock, he calls me up and he goes, hello, I was away on vacation, just got your message. I know what you need to do. Wow. You need to see an infectious disease specialist. I know one. He will see you right away. I highly recommend you see him tomorrow, which was Monday. So I saw that doctor. He took more tests and he called me back and he said, we have more information now. Yes, you still have bacteria in your blood, but you have a heart infection.
Oh.
And he put me in the hospital. And I even asked him, should I still take those pills? He said, oh, it's not really going to do much for you. And he gave me intravenous antibiotics, which I had for 6 weeks. And by that point, I was not even able to really stand up anymore. He saved my life. I mean, that whole thing, if I hadn't found him, I don't know. So a heart infection, that's endocarditis, is a very insidious thing because it can put you into sepsis very quickly. And that's where I was going.
There's so many points in that story where you got an intuitive hit that you could hear and that you followed. And were you always like this? Did you grow up doing this? Was this something that was nurtured in you as a child? Tell us a little bit about how you came to this practice.
So I didn't even think I was intuitive at all. I even tried Zener cards. You know what Zener cards are?
No.
So Zener cards are... they're supposed to test your psychic ability.
Oh,
your
ESP. Yes.
They're ESP cards.
From Ghostbusters 2, there's a scene where... Yeah.
Okay, so where they have... so there, it's a deck of cards, and each one has a shape on them, right?
Like a wave or a triangle.
Right, stars, things like that. And you're supposed to predict which one's coming up, and I got them all wrong. So I was like, I'm not intuitive. When I wasn't seeing spirits at a young age, I wasn't knowing or hearing things. I was not intuitive at all. Mm-hmm. But I was so curious because I believe in this stuff and if everybody has it, if that's really true, then I really want to find out. And so when I had the time to go research it, this was when I ended up staying at home with my son and I had a little more time. I wasn't working crazy hours anymore. I started to learn and I decided that I'm going to go all out because you got to be open, right? You can't close yourself off before you've learned anything. Otherwise, you're not really going to learn everything And so I learned about intuition, about psychic ability, about ESP, about remote viewing, and I wanted to see if I could figure out what this is, do it myself. I was even like not only learning from psychics and mediums, but I was watching what they were doing because is this real? Are they making it up? John Edward, does he have his producers like just making it look like it's really amazing?
Right.
Or is it real? And it is. It's some of the things I've seen. I even had readings with some super famous psychics, and the things they came up with were just like, there's no way they would have known. And so along with that and learning the techniques and trying to put together the pieces, I realized this. I started to realize what I was explaining to you before, because I have a background in psychobiology, which is all about the biological aspect of psychology and how the brain works and how we think and, you know, what it's made up of. And so that's when I realized, oh my gosh, they're talking about the right side of the brain. They're talking about when people say, okay, it comes to you as a feeling. It comes to you as a knowing intuition. It comes to you as an image you might see. And I was like, wow. That's all right side brain stuff. And then the other thing that I learned, which I think is awesome, because people always ask me, and when I go speak, they're always like, now, where do you think this information, was it experiences? Where does the information come from? And do you believe it's connecting to spirit as your friend
said? Is it God, angels?
And I said, I believe it comes from everywhere and we don't know where it comes from. It doesn't really matter, but I do believe it comes from beyond. And part of it is because there's no way you could have known. You don't have experience of certain information and you just know. And yeah, I believe that we are often looked after or protected, whether it's your angels or your guides. And I don't know if you've heard of Jill Bolte Taylor. So she's a neuroscientist And she had a massive stroke in the left side of her brain. And one of the things that she said was an interest for her was an interesting experience, other than the panic of having a stroke at the time, was that, oh, wow, I'm getting to see what it's like to for one side of my brain to turn off. Because she started to experience only what the right side of the brain was feeling or doing for her, because the left side of the brain started to turn off. And one of the things she experienced was a connection to all that is. She felt at one and at peace, at one and bliss with everything. And that's the experience of what people would call enlightenment. That's the Eastern philosophy, Hinduism, Buddhism. One of the things that they are looking to attain is enlightenment, which is the experience of oneness with God, of all that is. And that's what she experienced just because she had a stroke in the left side of her brain. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was the, this is how we get that information. So your priest is right. This is where he's getting the downloads from God, the Holy Spirit. People say that that's what it is. I'm getting a message from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And this is what I believe.
I will say, though, that most of my friends are not priests. Want me to take care of your meal prep for a month? I'm giving away a copy of my Meal Prep Made Easy program to the person who leaves the best review for this podcast this month. So all you got to do is leave an awesome review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this. And next month, I'll announce the winner. You know, a lot of people would really struggle with ideas of it coming from beyond us or the spiritual. Mm-hmm. I know that you say anyone can learn this. What if someone is like, "Hey, I don't want to hear any of your woo spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in accessing a part of my brain that may be underutilized." What would you say to that? Would you say that person can still tune into this, or do you think they're
Absolutely. Because again, it goes back to where is the information coming from, right? And I actually say this in my book. If that doesn't appeal to you, if you don't agree with it, you could still use this because there's information. Look, that's half of your brain.
Yeah.
So 50% of all this treasure of information is there that we're ignoring. And if you want to access that bigger picture understanding, that being able to think in parallel, being able to get information that is not so bogged down in fear and the detail and twirling around and second guessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the right side of the brain does for you. You're thinking with the whole brain now.
Yeah. You say somewhere on your site that what clouds our intuition is the ego. Can you tell us a little bit more what you mean by the ego? Is that just the thinking mind, the analytical mind?
Okay. Again, the left side of the brain is the ego is it's actually in the left side of a brain. So that's where we have the sense of I'm better than you, or you're better than me. And also the ego. And so that becomes a judgment, right? So if I'm better than you, I'm judging you. And again, that's where the left side of the brain is. And the right side of the brain doesn't have that. It's in the now. It doesn't get clouded by worries. It doesn't get clouded by, oh, you can't do that because, you know, I can't do this because I'm not good at it. I'm never going to be good at it. That I was going to be always terrible at this, so I shouldn't do that. The right side of your brain isn't clouded by those criticisms. And I think you were even talking about the people who have anxiety or they are worriers, which is again all what if, worries, judgment, criticism.
I feel like a lot of people, they might not be quite ready for angels and God, but they're also like, oh, there might be more out there that I haven't experienced. And they're like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then they do a couple of the Zener cards and they get all the symbols wrong. And they're like, ah, forget it. This doesn't work. How do you get your students to stay the course when they're just new, when they're just practicing? It's not when they don't get amazing.
It's a great question.
Sometimes synchronicities happening in these. Okay, maybe they do. I'd love to hear stories about that. But how do you help them if they don't?
So one of the things that we do with our students is we practice. And I mentioned those intuition exercises, which I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, what are those?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I could do as an exercise is I can show you a picture of someone and you can use my technique, which will allow you to trigger your intuition and start to get information from it. and recognize it. And yeah, and sometimes it gets clouded. The information you get gets clouded by your thinking mind, but doing the exercise of looking at the picture of someone, and you're going to gather all the things that are coming to you, mm-hmm. which is thinking and intuition. And as you do that, we can validate your intuition by the things that are right, or the hits, what we call hits. And when you start to see, that was intuition versus my judgment and my criticism, you start to recognize the difference between the two. And that's the exercise. The exercise is all about recognizing the two, because it's like having two different people in your head that are talking to you. The only difference is that you're talking, your thinking mind is always yabbering at you, and your intuition is way in the back. And you don't always hear your intuition. You want to bring the intuition closer, and then you start to recognize your intuition when it talks to you. And that's what the exercises are all about. And we work on things that are not important, because people like, I learned a couple techniques, or I learned these are the characteristics of intuition. Now I'm going to use it on a big life question. Yeah. And then it doesn't work because your emotions get in the way, your fears get in the way, and then your judgment gets in the way because you're not skilled at it yet. You don't really know what your intuition is yet. So the exercises are all about you getting to recognize what intuition is like inside of you.
What it sounds like.
And as you do the exercise, you start to see it more and more. Oh, I felt that. Oh, I heard that. I saw that. And it's like getting to know somebody, right? I know what the sound of your voice is like.
Yeah, I love that. You actually say in one of your materials that the feeling of it will be as if your best friend said, hey, come check this out. It's like a light curiosity feeling. I love that. I think that's such a great description.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. It's not screaming at you, and it's not admonishing you, and it's not going to criticize you, but it might tweak your interest a little bit. It might go, ooh, you know, what about this over here? And also what's nice about that is that when you start to follow it, and things start to happen, you start to go, wow, this is really, I never thought that this would turn out this way. And we had this just recently. We were looking to buy an apartment for my son in the city, and he was looking for a one bedroom, and he wanted a pre-war building. I wanted a condo, not a co-op. And my husband wanted a nice neighborhood. So there were a bunch of features that we were looking for. And we could find two out of the three. And it's always like that. You get two out of the three,
that's
but
right.
You can't get all three. And the realtor got us in to see a rental because we couldn't even see the one we wanted to see. So we go in to see the rental just to see what it's like. You know how realtors do that. Then you can see what it's like, see if you're really interested or not. Yeah. Yeah, so go in. So we go into, and we go walk into this rental, and this is a two bedroom now. And we walk in, and it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful pre-war building, totally renovated, brand new appliances. It was like, wow, this is great. I'm walking around, I open up the refrigerator, and I hear in my head, this is it. This is the one. I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is a, wait a minute. This is a rental. It's not for sale. And then I thought, it's two bedrooms going to be way too expensive. Mm. No way. But I heard it again. This is it. This is the one. But I know the voice. So I thought, let me find out. So long story short, we went and asked the owner if they'd be interested in selling. And they said, yes. And it was going to be way too expensive with that. So we threw a number at him that was pretty low, and he accepted it. And it was for less money per square foot than the
ones that weren't perfect.
Yes. And it had everything. And it turned out that it was in a great neighborhood. So it had everything we were looking for.
That's awesome. And when you say practice the small things, so there's a game that I play. I play warmer, colder. When you play that game when you're a kid, you hide something and they go, oh, you're getting warmer, you're getting colder. Because sometimes if you make the decision too big, is this the career path I should follow? You know, and then you get all up in your head and it doesn't work and everybody's got conflicting advice. But if you're like, I'm not sure, but it feels a little warmer And then it just allows you to take a step in that direction. And then you find the next step and the next step. So for me, warmer, colder is a really, it's a fun game. I don't know if this sounds like intuition to you.
Absolutely. I think that's great. Another thing is that we talk about feelings. So one of the things is that the feeling might be, again, they're subtle, but it might be you're drawn to something. Drawn to go, and just like you're warmer, colder. I do this when we go out on vacation and we love to travel. So we'll go to all different countries. So it's which restaurant should we pick? There's some, we're walking down restaurant row and they all look beautiful. And it's see which one draws you. And it doesn't have to be the name. It could be just looking at it. You feel like you want to walk in.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the menu. So that's how your intuition talks to you. The opposite feeling is feeling a little pushed back on a little. So you almost feel like you want to lean back a little bit. You know? And so that's the subtleness. But those are the feelings. Another thing is, which should you choose, A or B, or what project should you work on? Does it energize you? Do you feel like there's energy there and it's propelling you forward? And then all of a sudden, it seems like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes I'll have clients who will say something like, okay, my goal is I'm going to start working out every day or something like that. And then the way they say it in their body language, I'm like, oh, dude, that's not going to
work. How long is that going to last?
I can just tell you're exhausted just thinking about it. Whereas other people are like, I'm going to exercise every day. And you can tell that they're so lit up and excited about it. That's going to work. I wanted to ask you about when you said you get that feeling of maybe almost leaning back or leaning forward. Well, I wanted to ask you, a lot of my clients are obviously interested in health and stuff. And I wanted to ask about intuition in your body. I have one friend who has a practice of asking their body, what does a yes look like? Or what does it feel like? So they'll say something like, I love dogs or something that's true. And they'll feel what that feels like in their body. And sometimes it is a little leaning forward. And then they'll say something that's not true. My name is Angelica or whatever. And then they'll feel like themselves shifting back or something. And then they'll start to play yes, no questions and feel whether their body is telling them a yes or no. Another version I've heard of this is putting your thumb and finger together and holding tight. Then if it's a no, then that will be weak. Your body will be weaker. Put your arm up, ask them a question and their arm will come down if it's a no. Any of that true? Yes. Tell us about how your body can intuit things.
It's called kinesiology. Our whole body is really reacting to a knowledge that's not totally just in our left brain. And I think that works. I think it's valid. I also think you just have to be careful because you can
game the
cheat.
System. Yeah.
And that's the hard part. Your body is telling you things. And I think you talk about leaning forward or feeling like you're being pushed back. Certainly as a woman, you feel this. I think women have this radar, right? If somebody, even though they don't look or act in a certain way, you might have an intuitive, instinctive sense that there's something about this person that's not right. And you'll feel it in your body. You'll feel like you start to lean away. Those are the signals that your intuition is telling you to pay attention.
I wanted to take you back to the health and fitness stuff because I know my audience would be interested in that. How could one use their intuition to get healthier?
My most popular blog post is intuitive eating.
Okay.
We eat things. Sometimes we eat things because they taste good. Sometimes we just eat.
Yeah.
And our body is saying, number one, you're done. You should stop eating. Or this is not really good for you. But we eat it anyway. We ignore those signals and we need to pay attention to them. And I think that's going to help us be healthier.
So what would be great first steps for someone who is interested in quieting the chatter, making the intuition a little bit louder, starting to practice with those little daily decisions? What should I have for lunch?
Good one. That's the first one is the little practice of which way to go for work. Take a pause and ask. Which way are you drawn? Does all of a sudden that side of the street look lighter than the other side? Or what should I eat? One of the things that I do all the time is that when you go to the grocery store and, oh, I want to get apples. It's like, why don't you use your intuition to help you pick which apple to buy? What are you drawn to? Because that starts to entrain in your brain the pause of the, okay, let's take in what I'm seeing, feeling, thinking on that subtle level. So that's one thing. The other thing is everybody thinks, oh, I have to quiet my mind to hear my intuition. No, you don't. What you need to do is to, and we just talked about it, is be more aware of your intuition. Because what happens when you're in a crisis situation? How do doctors do it in the ER? How do, you know, soldiers listen to their intuition? Or I interviewed a fighter pilot. What does it feel like to you? And they've got so much going on in their head, they can't turn that off.
Yeah.
But what you're trying to do, just as I explained earlier, is you're trying to get your intuition to be louder to you. So you recognize it with all the things that's going on in your head. I'm in this apartment. Oh, this is a nice, oh, okay. So it's an open format. We've got the living room is open and it's connected to the kitchen. The refrigerator. Oh, this is a full size. The other one was a small size. All this stuff is going through my head and I hear, this is it. This is the one.
Yep.
So that's what we want. I don't want people to think I have to quiet my mind. So the third thing is recognize the characteristics of intuition. And that's what I teach people. The first thing is it's not a lot of chatter. It's not going to be criticizing you. It's not going to be putting you down. It's not second guessing. And it can be a word. It can be a face that pops in an image that pops in your mind, or it could be a subtle feeling. So those are the three things.
I love it. Thank you. And tell us more how people can get in touch with you, how they can learn more. I think you've got a great, well, I know because I downloaded it. You've got a great freebie on how people can get started with this. Where can people reach you?
You could go to lisakintuition.com and that's where you can download the freebie. And what that is, it's a quick little starter on how to recognize your intuition. Gives you, we talk about those intuition characteristics so that you can start to try to use them when you're making decisions and start with the small decisions.
And then you'll have it available for the big decisions.
Yeah, it really, it's about practicing and doing more and working at it like any other skill so that when you have to make a big decision, you can hear it better.
I love it.
Know what it's telling you.
That's great. Lisa, I'm so glad I followed my intuition in getting in contact with you. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Me too. It was a great pleasure being here and talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that. I actually left that conversation feeling like I might actually use my intuition more than I thought. I mean, I think I was equating intuitive knowledge with like some big eyes rolled back to the side of my head speaking in tongues while the spirit moved through me experience, when it's really just information from the right side of your brain, which communicates in a subtle way. A little peak of curiosity, like a friend saying, hey, come check this out. I love that. So if you are having that peak of curiosity about exploring your intuition, I highly recommend checking out Lisa's freebie. I'll link it in the show notes. And of course, I'm hoping that your intuition will give you a little hit to leave me a nice review. And maybe it's doing that because you're going to be the prize winner this month. Oh my God, are you totes psychic? You might be, and you never know unless you leave a review right now. This is so exciting. Hey dude, thanks for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you're subscribed so you can get the next one. And by the way, if you rate and review this podcast, it really helps me get found by other people who need some goals, grit, and some woo-woo shit. And be sure to connect and DM me at Una Duncan on Instagram and let me know what you thought of the episode. Chat soon.